Good morning, everybody. My name is Beyers Smit, member of the committee representing in Limpopo, and yes, we're preparing to trip to the
Dream on, other comments. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, members. Good morning, Dr. Kobela and team, Jacques Julius from Gauteng.
Good morning, my name is Kahsan Kodi. I'm representing the Northern Cape and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you. In the house.
Thank you. We must just lead by example so that they can follow us. You know what I mean, Honorable Akoni? With those words, I'm going to take over the presentation. Can I first deal with the apologies? I received apologies from the Deputy Minister, Honorable Laris Kahu, Honorable Gaila, and Honorable Safari. And also apology for Honorable Slam Malambu. It is going to be late. He's coming now. He's been picked up in his place. Thank you very much. I'm going to give over the book. Oh, sorry. Can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you.
I'm so fast. I didn't want to be interested. You can proceed, so.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, my name is Michael Cohen. I am the Chief Executive of the National Heritage Foundation. In the first instance, I wish to express a request for an apology from our chairperson, Professor Louis Anonma, the former Vice Chancellor of this. Although he's retired, he's still teaching. And so he's teaching today. To my right is Mr. Harold Coleman, our head of information analysis and intelligence. To his right is another colleague of ours, Ms. Farhana Osman, our head of governance. To her right, if I may take the opportunity to people that we work very closely with, Dr. Vicky Matutu is the chief director in the Department of Scientific Intelligence. We work very closely with her office and the office of the director general. And to his to her right is Mr. Martin. I hope I haven't taken liberties by introducing the chairperson.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was supposed to be going to the department to interview you right now. The other side, sorry, doctor, for that. My apologies, but you're welcome to say a few words if you want.
From our side,
you can proceed.
From our side, there's nothing to say, Chair, except for thanking the committee for inviting the analysis to come to the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. It seems that you are now leading instead of the department. But sorry about that. Can I also ask my supporting staff to introduce yourself here? Because I know it is a short program because 12 o'clock we are off to a meeting. Therefore, I don't think we are going to be so lucky.
Good morning. My name is Lolly Sidik. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Kati. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amanda. I'm the committee secretary of the committee.
Good morning, Professor Lakshmiji. I'm about to present the secretary to the chair.
Go on.
Good morning, Honorable Papu. You can please
said you can start with them.
No, I do not admit Mr. Salma, I wanna fight that one.
Honorable Baki, can I introduce you, Chief Minister?
Please.
I wanna fight that one.
Okay, sure. Can you introduce yourself, Member?
Kamalam, don't tell by the, on an end of the committee.
Thank you very much. I know going to be over, Doctor. I don't know who's going to do, are you going to introduce the people who's going to do the presentation? But you will come.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll do the presentation. We are informed that unfortunately.
Sorry, can you please link to us? This is a technical problem, therefore we cannot hear.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, Chairperson, I'm happy to stop at any point because we need some hard copies and I'm not able to point at particular issues to get our points of clarity. I'm most grateful for the introduction that may be necessary. We're presenting to you, Chairperson, the work of the National Research Foundation, what we do with examples. It is not the totality of everything that we do, but we felt it's important that we give you a sense and a flavor of the work that we do on your behalf for the people of the country. The second slide, which I would like to start off with, just to give you a sense of who we are in the constellation of different institutions of state that support the national science and technology system in a broader sense. And we tend to call that the national system of innovation. And the green ones are what we call the policy makers and the Department of Science and Technology and the Department of Higher Education Training are our two key partners when it comes to policy, regulation, laws, and the like. Then there's a team of regulatory and advisory bodies ranging from the National Advisory Council for Innovation, NACIA, the CHE, the Council on Higher Education, SACWA, the Selection of College Classification Authority, the Academy of Sciences, CASA, the National Nuclear Regulator, Water Research Commission, all of whom we work with in different ways. And I'll use the example later on in the presentation. This is a body of what we call agencies of government, and the National Research Foundation is one of them. And it includes one agency of government that I'm sure everyone in this room is aware of, the National Institute for Financial Literacy, whom we work very closely with. We've got the Technology Innovation Agency, which is one of the agencies of the Department of Science and Technology, the Medical Research Council, the Water Research Council, the National Institute of Humanities and Social Sciences, which falls under the Department of Education, Training and Development. And then there are those entities that actually do the hard work in terms of generating knowledge, doing research. To a large extent, we participate in that with the National Research Foundation. We have business units that cover the entire length and breadth of our country. By way of example, we've got two business units that operate in Northern Cape, or the members that come from the Northern Cape, the SKA project, as well as the Slatka Astronomic Observatory that is in Sutherland and the other one is in Carnarvon. So those are two in the Northern Cape. We have got here in the Western Cape, Kemba Labs, which I'll talk to. In the Eastern Cape, we've got the Slatka Institute for Aquatic Biodiversity in Grahamstown. In Gauteng, we've got quite a few. In Mpopo, the National Geological Gardens in Mokopane. And we've got nodes of the Slatka Environmental Observation Network that are throughout the country, from say the Emphi.
So, can I ask you, just take us through on what phase because I know that it's a long phase one.
I was trying to use slide number.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm on slide 2 after the cover slide. So chairperson.
Yeah, so if Doc can move a bit so we can deal with the questions and answers.
I will be very quick. So chairperson, that's who we are. You will receive the HSRC, I'm aware, sometime. And that's another agency that we work with. Together with the CSR, we fund these meetings that go to the CSR, to the HSRC, Samsung and the like. The next slide, slide 3, it is the mandate of the National Research Foundation and other funders. It is there, I hope it is self-explanatory, but it really has three core mandates as an agency of government. Support and promote research and knowledge generation. Support and promote research and knowledge generation through the provision of research platforms. And I will explain what that means later. Strengthen the relations between sciences and society through science engagement. And all of these need to contribute to our national imperatives that are in the state of the nation and many other policy documents of our government. The following slide, chairperson, is my title, NRF Strategy 2020, to give you a sense of what our strategy, the strategic outcomes are. There are 5 of them, all of which are intended deliberately to come together to provide and ensure that South Africa has a and globally connected national system of innovation. It's got to be globally competitive, but at the same time, it has to be particularly relevant to our context and our society. And that, I think, is our core of the reason for our existence. Jefferson, the next slide, which talks to the value of the National Research Foundation and the National System of Innovation. Slide 5, labeled slide 5 at the bottom right-hand corner. And here we were just giving you an example of one aspect of our work, which is to provide support to those students that wish to pursue postgraduate studies. Currently, we contribute, we support 15% of those who wish to pursue doctoral studies at university. Compared to, say, for instance, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, which provides support for about 20-25% of our new students who do go out and have other opportunities. However, as we support 15%, we do, however, contribute 35% of all the graduates. You may ask, how is it possible to go from 15% to 35%? Those graduates that we find in our system graduated with their doctoral degree, 35% of them would have been supported by the National Research Foundation. The reason is because many that we support finish and finish quickly, with a minimum time of about 3 years, while those that generally are not supported tend to take a very long time and sometimes can finish at all. That's why the contribution going upwards about 35%. And the next slide, slide 6, gives you an explanation of the average time to completion. Assuming you are taking your honors degree, it is a 1-year full-time study program. And so our average time to completion is 1.1 years. Master's 2, doctorate 3.4. And we are a little worried about the fact that it is creeping upwards, as you can see. But generally speaking, that figure of 3.4 is very good compared to the national average of 7.5 years for most of our students to complete their graduate studies. And there are many factors that lead to those completion rates. And the proportions of the graduates that would have been supported through the National Research Foundation are provided with 12% for honors, 19% for masters, and 35% for doctoral students. not just universities to students for study, but we support researchers and all our universities, our science bachelors and researchers, with research grants for them to pursue research, and we provide equipment, sometimes small, sometimes very big, sometimes very expensive as well. The other part of the organization, Chairperson, science engagement, as you can see. We also have what we call research platforms. Very, very expensive pieces of equipment that no one university or, for that matter, research organization can go alone. So we provide that infrastructure. An example is the question that you see come out of the national asset that all our scientists can use. The telescope that you find in Sutherland, national asset, the Tember Laboratories that is out here in Corey, is another one of those examples. And that's where the spread of our investment is chairperson. The following slide, that would be slide 8, titled The Value of the NRF to the NSI, HCD, Human Capacity Development. This gives you a sense of where we invest in terms of the different knowledge levels. Our responsibility is not just merely what some people think science and technology may have a fancy physics, chemistry, and so forth. But we will see, Chairperson, that we 70% of our investment in the broad knowledge categories of students. We support even those that are studying humanities and the arts. African indigenous languages as important, Chairperson, as well. Economics is just as important as anthropology. And so this gives you a sense of the distribution. And all of them provide different aspects, support different aspects of our society. Chairperson, if I could then go to the next slide, and that would be slide number 9. You asked us also to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we have. And I think this is a challenge that I think is known to all of us in our country, which is the adequacy of funding of our students that are particularly needy. Some of them may not necessarily be as needy as others. But our biggest challenge with respect to the adequacy of funding in that city, the value of the bursaries that we currently provide are relatively modest compared to the needs. So by way of an example, Chairperson, if I will start with the honors on the left-hand side, you will see the blue bar talks to what is the average cost of spending for a full-time study for an honor. It's sitting at about $130,000, as a full cost of study. It includes fees, includes accommodation, food, living allowances, books, and the like. The green bar indicates what we currently, on average, are able to support our students with. The orange bar on the left is the average value of the key component of the cost. So it's just to illustrate the challenge that we are facing. It is not to say that we believe we are in a position, Chair, to provide full cost to everybody. But it is important for us to make sure that those young people who wish to be fit may not have had the financial resources are able to do so. And so that's the question. On the next slide, Chair, slide 10, this is talking about the adequacy of the issue. Are we reaching as many as we could? And that's a simple for students at Gondago. We also support scientists, the researchers for their student research. And we are, as a country, punching significantly above our weight. We are a very small system compared to, say, Korea, where they've got good restrictions, 100 plus universities, and we only have about 20 or as a country, we produce about 0.7% of world productivity, of which 42% of that is unfortunately produced by scientists, supported by the public.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Well, then, this is amazing because
oh,
I don't know.
So Chairperson, it's about our ability to produce knowledge that is competitive globally. So the organization, the researchers that are supported by the organization produce 42% of South Africa's research productivity in these particular publications. Then you may ask, in which areas our research is working? And we felt valuable for us to, even though we are here, we are talking about communication, telecommunications, postal services, public enterprises, many of these things relate to the work of this committee. So from basic education, we've got research chairs that we have funded satisfied. Researchers that are looking at finding solutions to some of the vexing problems of our education system. How do we improve teaching and math and science? In health, and here I'm talking particularly about human health, we have researchers focusing on HIV/AIDS vaccination. We also talk about animal and plant health. Researchers that look at vaccination for animals. As you know, honestly, what produces our vaccine. So you need to have researchers that work constantly developing the vaccine for animals. Likewise with plants, we also have infrastructure networks, renewable energy, sustainable rural communities. We've got chairs that are contributing to a whole range of issues that focus in on human mobility, social psychological assistance, resilience, by poverty reduction, and the like. And again, it's about how we use knowledge to be able to respond to the needs of our country. The next slide, Chairperson, slide 13, further iteration of those examples of the value of the organization for socioeconomic impact and food security. We have a center of excellence in food security, which is partially represented here at the University of the Cape. Protection of environmental assets and also the needs of society that all of us should. So this is just an example of the research that we support in support of the heritage of our. Also asked us to highlight some of the challenges, and this is just but one that we wish to highlight, and that's slide 14. There's some of the challenges. Researchers, in the same way that we are not able to reach all the students that we believe are worthy of being supported, we are also not in a position to support for a whole range of reasons, not just financial. A number of academics, researchers that wish and should be conducting research. So this is an example of a challenge where the number of black women who also decrease that we are not able to fund or we are not receiving funding from ourselves, black males, so the will go to the next slide, Chair. Slide 15. It's just a summary. Some of these statistics can be aligned. There's a lot of details. And if one has to shrink a little dose of realism. So far as the 80% increase in the number of supported doctoral graduates, that's a significant movement over a period of 60 or something, 11 to 17. And we would wish to increase that because clearly the more we support, the more of those actually finish and we are able to get them to become more subject and change the nature of these recruitment policies. So this is just an example of change that has happened over the period 2011. I will answer very quickly through my world example some of the things that we do in context. And I wanted to use, maybe because we are in Parliament, an example of UWC. We could have chosen Voltaire, we could have chosen the University of Vendor or any other. But we started to choose UWC as an example of what we do with our university. For those that may not be aware, UWC is a very young institution, not a young not the youngest, but it's a relatively young institution in the context of many others. The ESA is over 140 years old, so UWC is not there. The student population is overwhelmingly black. The student population is a majority of students, young women. And you will see the enrollments are very strong, both in humanities as well as in science. The profile, which is this slide 17, of the students is there, is the postgraduate level. And this is very strong within the African and colored population who have the lowest participation rate in higher education. Participation rate means the proportion of 18 to 24 year olds in the population who could be at university. And that participation ranges from 12 to 13% for African and Africans to 45 and 56% that changes with the changing demographics and the population for Indian and white. And so with that cohort has the lowest participation rate. But UWC is a very strong the next slide, slide 18, gives you a sense, Chairperson, of the investments that we have put into students at University of the Western Cape. And you will see it particularly in terms of numbers, as well as in terms of depth. couple of examples I can issue that you will be the flavor of some of the things that that you'll find in EWC. This is just a flavor. So obviously in land and buildings, buddies unit bus does some terrific work around farming. The National Bioinformatics Institute for the country, and the Center of Excellence in Food Security, which is shared between the University of Victoria and the University of Cape. And these are things that happen in part because of the support that we have received from our Ministry of Science and Technology. We work together with the very, very quickly, and I'll be brief in terms of the research infrastructure platform. Remember, I said that we provide very, very large scale infrastructure, which is not easy for one university to look after alone. But if you provide it as a country, any researcher that is one of two people now in the illustration of the different platforms that are under the authority of the National Research Foundation. I'm going to assume that everybody in this room has heard of this when you look at it, especially from those. And then, in addition, we have the South African Astronomical Observatory, which is here in Cape Town, but the actual telescopes you will find in southern. That's where the sort of the large telescope emerged. In the northwest, we have the Harding Visible Radio Astronomy Observatory, just right next door to the space agencies. In Grahamstown, the Black Institute of Aquatic Biodiversity, which I'll talk to you a little bit. And here in Cape Town, as well as in Johannesburg, we have the laboratory for and they do some really fantastic work, not just in terms of research in the nuclear sciences, but how that actually contributes to society, and particularly in the health and pharmaceutical industry. And then we have the Drug Environmental Observation Network, which monitors changes that are happening in our environment due to climate change, due to the things that we ourselves. So by way of example, as we build the square kilometer array, we are also going to have areas where we're not going to farm, and therefore we're not going to be shooting. So how is the vegetation going to change? How is that ecology going to change? And this is the sort of thing that the example that I wanted to make, checklist in slide 24, is a small research institution in the corner of the Denver, where you find exceptional research being conducted at the Stack Institute of Aquatic Biodiversity. It houses the largest fish collection on our continent, and people from all over the world actually come to use science. We do everything from both offshore, i.e. marine, as well as land-based freshwater fishery research. This next slide, Jefferson, slide 25, gives you a sense of the platform that we provide for the research community. So whether you are working from the University of Denver, or you're working at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, you have access to all of these platforms that we provide in science. So national collections, as I said about all these fish, why do you need it? Fishery expansion, drug discovery, finding is getting diverse by your that we have. And this is by both scientists and students, both here locally and across the world. But this gives you a sense of the different things that we provide to our scientists and how they are in turn used. The next slide, slide 26, Jefferson. It talks to what type of research is then done and how that impacts on society more generally. So, a simple example would be fisheries management. Why is it important for us to do research in fisheries management, whether it's coastal, freshwater, or marine? So, you have to answer a simple question. Which fish stocks can be used and how much can we actually save to ensure sustainability for everyone? If you don't do this research, you won't be able to find it. And this is what requires biological research. Everything all the way down to climate change, freshwater management, and conservation. So these are examples of what the students do in the science. The next slide. We also invest in one, the future. I thought the other member had a question.
Is there something that you want to say?
No, I told you all the month that we have enough space and room for passion.
I'll skip because honorable members have set the document in front of them, so if you allow, I will also skip some of the slides. For slide 27, and this is just an example of how we work with other government partners, from the Air Water Research Commission, and as well as the President's Joint Operations and Research. To save time, Jefferson, the next slide, I would offer an open invitation for chairs or members to visit the Timber Labs, which is around the corner. It will be easier for us when the time comes, so that I don't have to spend the time talking about the Timber Labs. But all that I want to be able to say is on slide 30. The value of the NRF in Canada last year and it's fine. It's about the fact that we produce radioisotopes that are used for detection of tumors, of cancers, and that goes to our own hospitals here at home, as well as internationally, on the back of research that is done in the United States. And that, I think, is all that I need to say about that.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Very interesting presentation. I hope we will make some time to come and visit your facility so that we can see and ask questions. I think then we will understand it better than we did. I'm going to allow question time. Can I say Honorable Papi? Honorable Nita? Honorable Julia? Thank you.
So the list of questions in the presentation you made, which reflect a certain form of the workings and functions that we are not some of us aware of. But the abstract question that I will pose is that maybe you clarify your relationship. I hear you did not first remark that you are working with other agencies. But then I'm interested to know your relationship with the agriculture and fresh community with regard to the work that you are doing on food security. And the other issue is the allocation of funds or funds that you give. You give such resources to individual university, and that individual university will provide and disperse such resources to individual students approved by yourselves or by the university. Look, I know the National Fresh Can What Foundation, but I didn't know that you provide. I think that there's a lot of work that you are doing. But then I want again to ask on the scientists that you have developed or under development in terms of your marine research or scientists. I'm not sure whether that makes sense, that question. Look, we are talking about Operation Pagisa, and on Operation Pagisa, you will find that you have lesser scientists in terms of marine, the ocean economy. Yeah, our black people are not entrepreneurs. And the fourth question is, how much work do you do in terms of career guidance? Because look, our kids, if you go to the rural area, you will find that our kids, they don't know that there's marine scientists, there's what. They only know human resource, tourism, and public administration, all of that. You know. But the essence of the question that I'm asking is your outreach programs to go to our kids in their schools, in the deep rural areas of Eastern Cape, as a classical example, to talk about this opportunity that you are referring or you are talking about. Let me stop there. Chairperson, so that I give other members an opportunity. But there are many questions that I wanted to ask. I will come again if opportunity arises.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's first appreciate the presentation. It's quite an interesting one. And I think I concur with Honorable Pakis that really we only know the institution about research, the part of also giving bursaries, and we didn't know. So thank you for that. And if it again requires us and yourself to make sure that there is information getting through even in rural areas, in agreeing with Honorable Pakis. But my question was on slide 8. When I'm looking there on your student support category, I see that you have less students in math, economics, and medicine, and engineering, very low. And I would like to know why is that, especially that we are looking in graduates that have the right skills that are required by the country. And again, in your annual report, you made mention of a low parliamentary grant. Does this mean you have scaled down in your priorities, or else how does that affect your plan as an institution? My third one would be, can you give us an update on the possible transfer of the National Geological Gardens of South Africa from your NRF to the South African National Biodiversity Institution, as the transfer was planned to be happening in 2016-2017. So I just want to know in this financial year with everything. And again, you have made mention of the hands down, I didn't pick you up there,
that is one of the biggest fish collections. And now I'd like to know where about in Grahamstown, what is the sea in Grahamstown to start with. I know that there is in Imilambo somewhere, but I'm just interested to know because I am from that area. It's an area that I can visit earlier, and my constituents is also there. So for interest sake, I would like to know where about. Sorry for rushing you in this presentation. It's not intentional. Time is against us.
Thank you, Adam.
Oh, no, we have to.
Thank you, Chief. It's basically the same question that was raised by Honorable Parties, but subsequently pushed. You mentioned, Doctor, when you started that you're looking at policy, government policy, and also like people like the solar there. And then later on, you also said that you look at the focus areas that universities provide, and that's how you decide to fund it. Oh, there's a question. My question is, what are the requirements for funding? My thinking is that if you look at what we need in the country, shouldn't be guided only by universities. It can be a bit dangerous to only rely on universities, because that is actually stealing our country. The type of research that we are doing is not the research just for mere doing the research, it's for development. Now, if you look at slide 8 also, the areas that you are looking at, the focus point of government being economic transformation for years now, and that is your socio-economic impact on that. It just says the value of NRF to the MSI. And I'm taking it, these are the areas that's actually being researched. And I can't see where economic development, SMMT, innovation, you know, different products out for sale domestically, and most importantly, exports. Because that is actually what we need. If you look at what government says now, with the Sunna address even, how is it aligned? Who is actually determining our course? Is it universities? Is it our department? Who is doing it? I just need clarity on this, because I'm a bit worried that if government is not steering the course, you know, the tail might be wagging the dog, and we might go in a different direction in terms of policy and what government envisages to do in the years to come. So we just need clarity on it. I'm sure there will be a good understanding. And then also your requirements for funding for each and every student. Do you rely on the university to give you? Because here I need answers in terms of, do we have foreign students coming to do research in South Africa based on South Africa? We find a lot of foreign students. How many are African? Because we also need researchers in our country. We can invite researchers to our country, but it should be limited, because we actually need our own, develop our own people also. So there should be a limit in these things. But we see more and more foreign students doing research, and especially doctoral and postdoctoral research in South Africa. Whether they're doing it for South Africa or for, you know, based on another country, you know, attaching South Africa in some other way. You know, I just think we need to be informed about that. Do we have it in our hands? You know, are we losing it? And at what pace are we losing it? Do we have enough researchers? Because it doesn't say here South African students. It just says students. And we know that if it's in the hand of universities, they take students. They don't take only South African students. They take research students that qualify. So my question is that I'm worried about one aspect there in terms of your intake and requirements. Do we have a mechanism to track the success of especially innovation to the levels of at a production stage? And because that is what the whole hype of government is now in terms of manufacturing. And when you talk manufacturing, research plays a big role in manufacturing. And we know that. Do we have an aspect of that? Can we track it and how far is it? Because I just think that we need to realign and track where government wants us to go. If we don't go that way, you know. And then just lastly, sorry for taking up so much time, members, but I just think, slide 9, the second last one, slide 9. Does it cost that much for an honors degree now to get the average or the highest? Because I've seen other universities in South Africa where you are often ordinary. Does it vary from faculty to faculty? 130,000 for an honors degree. I don't know. I didn't see it. I looked at some last year, but I didn't see anywhere near 130,000. It can be 60,000. And if that's an average, I don't want to see the highest one. If 130 is an average, what are they actually doing there 1 year? I don't know. You know, it just sounds a bit high to me. And then the last one, just a suggestion on the budget. I know that this is an NHF person that good money. We simply need to put more money when it's needed. We simply have to put more money into this because this is what will change our economy. This is our future. The pathways like this will be our future in terms of innovation, growing our economy, and also our socio-economic issues or challenges. When we know what is happening, they will tell us how to deal with it and so forth. So we need money in this to help our students to tell us what to do in the future. So my suggestion is that seeing that this department will feed other departments in the long run, education department and all other stakeholders that are mentioned here on second slide. Higher education, DBE, you know, DAF, DEA. Why can we as a committee not make a suggestion to the or department, through the department, to other departments to contribute to this initiative? Because they feed from this. If they have money left, they can actually support this. If they cannot, they can motivate for more money for the department because you are feeding those departments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Honi.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Doctor. Most of my questions were dealt with by the students. But this one is based on the Northern Cape, slide 32. There were five learners actually the great child learners who were awarded the bursary in 2015. So I want to check if these learners are or were identified within the Northern Cape province or they are from the other provinces within the country.
Thank you very much. On the world topic, you will want another by
How do you identify the location where you put your labs, like the one that you spoke about earlier, Ithemba? Which criteria do you use to say you are going to the Eastern Cape, you're going to have one somewhere? But then again, on page 16, on slide 16, your University of Western Cape, but the question is, your support for individual researchers, how do you balance that with the historically disadvantaged institutions? Yes, like you are saying, your University of Western Cape is one of them. And especially the universities like the Stellenbosch and the Rosen, because I believe it's so much important. But to link to that, maybe Honorable Julius put it differently. Are you able to trace this student and to say this particular student is our product that we supported and this is where he or she went? Now, in the context of food security, your relationship with this institution, I don't know that Afghan's name, is an agricultural
plant.
No, not not plant. Where they develop vaccines. Yep, that's the name. That's the name. How many of your students are there? Because the issue of food security is a security issue. Look, last week I was on a plane, next to me, I was sitting with a young fellow, he's not a farmer, but he works with farmers, but he's a researcher and a scientist, and he specializes on apples. Now, last week, Thursday, I was presenting a bill on the breeders' rights bill. Now, I never thought that we have our own people who can develop their own seed. But then the point that I'm making is, how many black quality brain expertise that we are developing to say, this is a black fellow that can develop his own product for our own sovereignty, for our own food security. And what becomes central there is science and technology. The last point that I want to ask Chair, few weeks ago there was a talk about a new vaccine or whatever medication that will prevent the spread and the transmission of HIV and AIDS. Is the one that is it developed here in South Africa? How much and what level we were involved, or it was just a private entity, private researchers were involved. Because from where I sit, I will be happy to see a situation where we say, this person developed this vaccine, is a pure product of our resources and our processes in South Africa, is a black fellow. I will always emphasize black, and I believe we all understand why.
Please, you are the people who reminded me of me. But you are the same people who keep on asking questions, and then you want to pressurize me for time. Let's because you must come back again for the
follow-up.
Yeah, I just want to remind you about the time. Thank you.
Honorable, one question to on page.
I will not read my.
Your 22. On page 36, Chair, I'm worried there are a number of crucial questions that are being asked here, and I'm attracted by the one on the issue of climate change. How will climate change impact where our fish are found? It's a question, and I didn't hear, pardon me, if it did when I was asked. I didn't hear what is our record in terms of this. Well, it's quite a question. Not that it's the only one on this page. All these questions that I hear are so crucial, and they need answers from your son.
I just, before I do that, just do it for me. I never said.
There must be enough time for people to respond.
I never said, I always make time for the comments, and I respect the time from
I know.
I wasn't one of them. I was punctual, not late, and I didn't rush. Nevertheless, Jefferson, nevertheless, just on a lighter moment, I just want to know whether you know anyone involved from that you funded for the injections of the ESF.
Yeah, please. Can you develop something? Thank you very much. I think I'm all only going to ask one question. One question is for our country to be part with the rest of the developing world. We need to produce about 1,500 per year. Do you think the announcement of the latest text about the dropout of the school, will we be able to compete or deliver? The other one was the criteria, if you ask, I'm not going to dwell on this one. I'm going to allow you to respond. I will keep my question in writing to the minister to give you time. Over to you.
I will try and be
brief
for the sake of time.
On,
but it is not out of disrespect that maybe some of the questions I will answer briefly. I think it does raise the issue of coming back to the members' wish for us to come back and have some quality time on these things.
Yeah, thank you. I think this thing of written questions is not doing this thing for me. Because you hardly go through for us, rather call you back to explain to us because we got more out of it instead of over the same thing. Thank you.
If I may start with the question from the Honourable Member from the Northern Cape. These young children, if I remember correctly, they are UWC and UC. All of them coming from the Northern Cape, Williston, Carnarvon, one of them, the young lady was the graduate of Carnarvon High School.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all young people from the area. I don't have the data for this immediate past graduation, but that was the first time that Carnarvon High School actually graduated students who were eligible to enter university, and it was because of the FKA project. Chairperson, I'll try and work my way through. My colleagues will help me where I err and where I miss. Honorable parties, our relationship with ARC is very strong. We work closely together. Honorable Post has a good working relationship with the ARC, as well as the University of Victoria, in terms of vaccine production as well as the secondary sciences. So we place the issue of Versal is chairperson, it's probably our biggest challenge because we are trying to do something that is necessary for the health of our country, which is to transform and change the profile of those people who generate the knowledge and also secondly how that knowledge is used as a society. So your point, Honorable Fagis, about the fact that you are not having shame on the emphasis on black, we also have ministerial targets which talk about 80% of our universities must go to Sri Lanka, the majority of which must go to black students, and I can't remember if it's 80% of that 80%. We also have the distinction between the rest of the continent at static level and the rest of the continent because of the relationship that we have with our static neighbors. And obviously 5% of the maximum for international students from outside. So there is, this government is steering the ship. So it's not just the universities that make the decision. The issue that you raised around black students supporting the ocean economy, I think it's a slide 36, which is just giving you an illustration of what we're doing with the visa program. And just to illustrate the challenges of why resources do matter, many of these young children who have an interest in this sort of work come maybe because they've heard about this opportunity to the work that we do with SASTEP, which is where we talk to school children who go to schools, we have Olympiads, we have science camps, and the like. That's an area which I didn't come to. So they hear about this, they finish their undergraduate say for the sake of argument at the University of Glasgow. They come to Grahamstown. You'll see it just as you go down opposite the Devonier Street. In Grahamstown. But then you have a dilemma. They can't swim. They don't have a driver's license. So how do I get from Grahamstown to Port Alfred? So those are things that we have began to introduce. Life skills which would enable them to be able to function beyond just merely having learned the subject matter content of oceanography or budget biodiversity and something like that. And that's what that program is really trying to do. The issue, chairperson, where we were asked slide 8, why low proportion of math and economics and so forth. We don't have that many mathematicians in our country. That is one of the other challenges that we have. One of them is sitting over there to my right, my sister. But we try and do our best to cover the key disciplines. Not everybody who will necessarily get a bursary from us, but in the allocation of bursaries, we do try our best to respond to the needs of our community. We've been working with the Department of Higher Education and Training, the Student Funding Office, to see how we can ensure that every single academic who teaches mathematics and statistics at our university has a doctorate. Because if you don't have, you're unlikely to be able to produce a doctorate yourself. And secondly, you become a better teacher because the subject matter knowledge and content is also in the university. So it's not a deliberate low proportion, but it is also a function of the availability of resources and the demand as well. Chairperson, there was a question about our parliamentary grant. We are always grateful for every penny that we get, and our intention is always to use every penny to the best of our ability. This financial year, 16-17, real terms, that was a negative growth of about 5.5%. In the coming financial year, I think it will grow by 5.4%, which in real terms is, and I think so, our challenge is to appreciate the status of our economy, mobilize resources in other places that we can, but also make sure that whatever we get goes to the places that are needed. Transfer of the National Zero for Grants is currently going well. It is scheduled to take place effective on the 1st of April. We've been working with both the Department of Science and Technology and the Department of Environment and Affairs, as well as family and ourselves. Dr. Tanya Edwards and myself were closely there looking forward to that transfer, and it will allow Sandy to become a biodiversity country, which looks at both water and flora, effective from the 1st of April. Biodiversity economy. The ocean economy. Yeah. No, Chair, I think Honourable Pike's raised the issue of black students particularly supporting the oceans economy. And to some extent, what we are trying to do with the Kulisa program is to deliberately target black students to come into the aquatic environment to support the oceans economy. We believe that we can do more, we should do more, but it does require us to be maybe slightly better supported, to do a little bit more than we are able to do to the challenges. There was the issue, Honourable colleagues, about mechanism to track innovation to production. May I suggest to you, Chair, that maybe the committee could consider inviting TIA, the Technology Innovation Agency, which is the sister agency of the NRF under the authority of the Minister of Science and Technology, whose mandate is precisely to take that innovation into the productive space. And so we work with them to take ideas to a certain level, and then they take them further down the line. That's partly why Chair President, I started with that first line, to give a sense of who are the different actors. And then the question of who steers, our government steers. And I think there is a perception that our government does not steer. And I will illustrate you in two points. Ministers in my field approves every single enrollment plan of every university. How many students they can take? What is the performance? In which area they should be operating, etc., etc. And through that, we then work with him, together with the Department of Science and Technology, to make sure that we support in those areas that our government deliberately wants grow. So there is a relationship between the government through science and technology, higher education, and the universities to, in essence, steer to respond to the national priorities of the country. And in that regard, you asked a question, I think it was yourself, sir, who asked whether or not we give money to the universities and who then decide who they can give it to. We have two streams. We give money to the universities and they can find their students, but we have to approve those students. So that's the first. But then students can also come from that extension. So it's a dual process. Can we track them? To some extent, yes, but to a very large extent, no. But I'll use two examples. People whom you will probably know. Three deputy vice chancellors of our university. Luis Marwala, who's the deputy vice chancellor at UK, got a one there are many such examples. The dilemma that we have is that we are still working with SARS to see how we can track people who are outside of the higher education institution. But if you are a student at university and then you become employed in the university, we'll be able to be and see from day X, you were an honor student, 20 years later, you are a professor. That we will be able to pick up because we have a system that we work with providing the right education. But outside of that, we need the support of staff. HIV-AIDS vaccines, I don't know which is the particular one that you are talking about here. But we support the Center of Excellence that you will find at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. You probably heard of Professor Sabu Slim Khalid and his wife, Koreza. And we support them. They do groundbreaking HIV/AIDS research. You heard of the CAPRISA program for those of us who come from who support their research, and they are doing some groundbreaking work in terms of the protective gels. Yes, the protective gel that that we're talking about, that's the one that has come out of this laboratory done by his wife. And we support models from ourselves, but the bulk of which has come from international funding. But it was done here. What have I missed, Chairperson? How do we select locations of our large-scale infrastructure? It varies. Some of it is historical. The National Research Center put the National Accelerator Center here in Cape Town way back in the 50s. And that's something that you can't move. Billions and billions of grants that you just can't transfer out. In other cases, you choose because it makes sense from a science point of view. Let's take an example of the location of the spectrometer array. We needed radio silence, and the best place was the in the North of Cape, and that's how it gets located where it is. Similarly, Sutherland is one of the darkest places in this world, and it makes for absolute wonderful viewing of the cosmos and the galaxy, because there we are capturing light coming out of the star. So there are certain reasons why we make those places that are informed by science. But Grahamstown, why? There's no city, it doesn't matter. Port Alfred is just around the corner.
Yeah.
But it came out of the J.O.B. Smith Institute of Archaeology. That was part of those universities. But it has grown over time and matured into the wonderful institution that I believe it is today. But Chairperson, I hope I have covered that.
There's one that,
with your permission, honorable members, I think it was honorable Phineas who raised the question of the cost of the honors being 120,000. The fees are not 120,000. If you look at the slide, the fee component is probably about 30,000 on average. But the cost of a young person, if you are looking at full cost of study, not just fees. If you are, for instance, coming to Cape Town and your home is Giyani, you have to find a place to live. You need transport to come to Cape Town.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the queue, the one that has been left out, is the how do you balance the support of the research intensive universities and the historically disadvantaged institutions.
History has bequeathed us some strong institutions and others not as strong. Part of the reason why we chose the University of Western Cape to illustrate, 40 years ago, the University of Western Cape would have been put in the corner of one of those institutions that quite frankly was not doing any research at all. If I were to position the University of Western Cape today, relative to the many former white universities, it outstrips them. Why? Because the institution made the deliberate choice to make change. Under its own leadership, the university made choices about what demands they place on themselves. And thirdly, our own government supported the trajectory that they took. And that's why you are able to see the sort of change that took. I could have also chosen the University of London. For those of us who come from the Porto, I think we haven't been there yet. Be a nice visit, because you will see that that university is nowhere near what many people think. You will find some incredibly bright young people coming out of there. The facilities are world class. The academics are also incredibly internationally competitive. But it is a relatively young institution. It's only about 30 odd years compared to UWC, which is now going into 60. But it's about choices that our institutions make and the extent to which we support. So what we do is we work with each individual institution. So the extent to which an institution will be able to absorb our support is also dependent on their readiness. The youngest institution that we are working with, the South Viking in Kimberley. And again, it just started, and it's about the things that we choose to work with them together as we go forward. They well-established institutions, they have different challenges. I'll use an example. Stellenbosch UCT has the challenge of transformation of the research program, the academic program. And then it's a combination of how do we work with them to ensure that young black scientists are also represented and supported within the institutions. So it's not to say that we don't work with them, but it's for different reasons.
It will be very good if we can see what kind of work you're doing with each university in a report next time if you come in through them, so that we can understand certain political dynamics. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, first let me emphasize the fact that as much as our role is oversight,
we also have a responsibility of helping the department or the institution. You know, in your annual report, you were modest when you were responding on the issue of parliamentary crime. Well, your report is saying, your annual report, it questions your sustainability as an institution. I read it from you. I wanted you to talk more on that, because it is our responsibility to protect the sustainability, to ensure the sustainability of the institution. Thank you.
Clarity on your request now that we need a report for each university to get I just need clarity on the political concept. I don't understand.
You know what the question being asked. It's not the ANC for our DA politics. You know, we are presenting certain, the question of how do you choose certain to work with certain universities. I think that will help us to understand the political things that we are questioning in our mind. In that way. Thank you very much.
The response on the ability to debate, what the question intended to say, as a collective leadership of the institution, when you calculate 5 years down the line, you say, we have developed in this country 150 scientists in different disciplines. And these scientists are being placed here. That's the question that I wanted to you, and you're not explicit enough on that.
Through you, Chair, I can only but agree. Our intention is to change for the better, to strengthen for the better those that produce new knowledge for our country to be able to respond to the societal and economic needs of our country. And so our ability to trace is important. But it's equally important for our ability to be able to steer them in the right direction. Because not all of them end up where we would like them. You'll be surprised that many of our theoretical physicists in doctoral graduates in theoretical physics end up in the stock market because of the skills, the analytical skills that physics has given them. So the stock market uses them to calculate their derivatives and all these wonderful things that make them money. So you don't always end up with what you would like. Two issues to the chair. What I would like to say is, in fact, two and a half, because my colleagues have just reminded me, we've got a generous allocation from Minister Pando to try and put together a Tracer program.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's still a work in progress to be able to trace exactly where our graduates end up. The other two things that I thought I would talk to, the issue of sustainability. There is financial sustainability, there is operational sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Resources do matter. We try our best to be as frugal and as economic as it is humanly possible. We rigorously enforce the treasury regulations with the cost containment. But you've got to be careful that you don't begin to eat into your ability to fulfill your mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can give more bursaries, but if you're your deadline, that may be counterproductive at a particular point. And give research grants and become smaller and smaller, and that then can become counterproductive. So we're trying to protect the core business of the organization. And so it's about how we work with our government to make sure that aspirations and resourcing are a decent thing.
thank you and go well. Thank you for, I think we are going to call you more, again, yeah, not more, but again, because I can see there is a need for a lot of questions. And if we can have that kind of reporting that I was asking, so that we can see why and why are you putting money in certain university institutions, and what are they doing, and what is the outcome? Do we get the money out? What is putting in thank you very much, and thank you for coming. Do you want to say something?
Maybe to thank you, Chairperson, we look forward to coming back. We'll try and do that profile for the dashboard for each of our institutions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And also, we were working on the track record for data of students. That one, we will also want to see if we can come to the base so that we can see where the people in more than this year. You explained to us that you were working closely with the Department of Higher Education to comply, to keep the data together. Thank you very much. Can,